Well, I was going to have happy anniversary playing today, but it was actually, I believe, yesterday was your official anniversary date, which...
It was.
Chad Bird is with me. He's the city manager for the city of Burlington. It is April. He began officially on April 5th of 2021, came in, hired during the pandemic, which I'm not sure I've declared it over, but that's just me.
So have I. It's over in our household.
One thing I did notice is that, and it's hopefully, everything was felt normal. And I told you I went on spring break. And the second you walk into an airport, you have to have that mask on, and it has to stay on until you get, and then when you get on the plane, then you have to keep the mask on. And then you have to, when you get off the plane, then you got off the plane in the airport. Then you order your Uber or Lyft or whatever to get to your hotel. And you have to have the mask on in all the Ubers and Lyfts, too. So it's right. It's like all of these requirements, it just all of a sudden it feels like you've been thrown back in time. Do you know what I mean?
Anyway, 2 years. Right.
But regardless of that, things are returning as close to as possible to normal. Burlington Players Workshop has a play opening up on the 22nd, and they are going to full attendance.
They changed their policies. So
at least
that's
they
great.
Have. It's the plan. I suppose something could change that, but I don't see that happening now. But that's a good sign. The increase in the new Delta variant from the Omicron, that doesn't seem, it's not. Reading New York Times this morning, it has not surged here. It surged in Western Europe, but it did not surge here. So anyway, regardless of that, business as usual in the city of Burlington. You've got a racetrack on Dunham, is what you were telling me before.
Yeah, it's an unsanctioned racetrack on Dunham. And, my plea is for people just to slow down, take it easy, take a breath.
Dunham is a parallel street to Harrison.
It's a parallel street to Harrison. It's part of the detour around Harrison. Work on Harrison started here a couple of weeks ago. It's orange cone season in Iowa, as we like to say, about mid-March on.
Aren't there two seasons in Iowa? There's winter and road construction.
That's right.
And
we're just getting into road construction season. So, just for listeners, take it easy, be careful. We'll send out the patrol units, around that area just, as an extra precaution, just for some visibility. And, plead that folks take it easy. You know, as it gets warmer, kids are outside. They're riding bikes. They're playing in their yards. Growing up in my family, when you saw the first dandelion, that was the key that you could start going barefoot, right? So it just means you're outside running around doing more things.
Racing, other than the racing on Dunham, the Tiger Project, Tiger Grant Project is underway. Harrison, how long will the Harrison Street Project take? Do you know?
There's a lot of cleanup work from last year, and then they're starting on the next section. So, that's going to go through most of the summer as well to get that cleaned up.
But I know we had Nick McGregor on, and I know we've talked about it in the past. If you're doing a reconstruction of a street, do it all, any sewers that go there, have them all done and redone at the same time, so you're not doing two things, having to tear up streets to do another thing after you've gotten it all ready.
And that doesn't always work out. Sometimes it just depends on timing and costs, right, budgeting. That's our goal. When we get in there, let's do it once and be done, and it's a 50-year project, and we're out of there. So.
Okay, spring is here. Are the Bird scooters out?
So I did have communication with them last week. They will be coming out very soon.
Okay.
They didn't give me a date, but they are ramping back up again, and they'll be ready here shortly.
Okay. How popular were they in terms of were they very happy with the popularity?
Did you ride them?
I did not.
Yeah.
I ride a bike.
Okay. I think the company was very pleased with the response in Burlington. They started out with 50 units, and their goal was to get to 100, and I think by this year they'll be there. I think they had a great response, and they were happy.
I am planning on doing that sometime. I just never had a chance to. I was... when you're on your bike, it's like, okay, why should I get into a scooter? Well, I was just to test it out. But, you know, one of the things I see is that now we go to Chicago quite often because my daughter lives there. But they've got Bird scooters in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They are replacing something that they used to have before, which was the Segways. They used to have a Segway.
Right.
Segways.
Yep.
Now that you can rent a bike as well in Chicago as well. An ugly bike, but that's another story.
I saw those in San Antonio, too, several years ago. They had that you could rent the bikes and go from point A to point B into the corrals. But then they did Segway tours. You could jump on a Segway and do a Alamo tour or something like that, too. They're a little tricky to ride.
They really are. And the Bird scooters, from what I understand, are much more rider friendly, so to speak, or user friendly.
I'm sensing maybe a charity ride between a certain radio personality and city manager. We could get on those and zip around a farmer's market or something, right?
Go someplace and see some of the town. How far? You rent those by the hour, is that right? And you use your
It's by the minute. They'll, you know, there's something.
Oh, by the minute, okay.
Yeah, there's there's a certain charge just to get on and get going, and then it's, you know, $1 a minute or
but
something like that.
But you put your card in to activate.
When you download
the
app and you sign up, you put your credit card in, and then basically from there you just scan the code on the scooter, and it just charges your card and.
You
got to make sure you scan it when you're done. Otherwise, if you just walk away, right, you're going to keep getting charged.
Yeah. Did you lose any scooters?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
No.
Well, that's good.
There's a local manager. There's a local team that is responsible for keeping them charged and keeping track of them. And they have, you know, kind of the master app or the operator's app, so they know where they all are. They know what charge they have on them and all that type of stuff, so they keep track of them.
I know at Bluff Harbor Marina, the mayor of the city of Burlington, John Billups, they have electric bicycles that they also have available for their customers and clients to get around town. So lots of opportunities, lots of things to do. We do have coming up very shortly, very shortly, in a couple of months, the Viking Cruises will begin in July.
July 18th will be the first one, right?
Yeah, and it's going to be, and we'll have quite a few that will be coming through on that. That's a good sign, and there will be tours, and we were talking about the fact that, and I was mentioning Ragbri, but having been to every single river town in Iowa, many of them several times,
on both coasts?
On both coasts.
Yeah, okay.
It really is. Burlington is, I would say, far and away the very best place to get off of, to finish a ride, and also to get off of a boat. And you go right into the town.
We're the gem, and, you know, I think we have great access to the riverfront. And the Tiger Grant's just enhancing that, so it's really going to be nice when that's all done.
Now, the Tiger Grant is causing some, let's put it this way, the parking situation, and we've had this one brought up before, as that is, if you're going to go down to the auditorium, park on the south parking lot.
Park on the south parking lot, or park in any one of the other parking lots west of there. For example, a couple of weeks ago, I went down to the Catapult show with Civic Music on a Thursday, and I parked at Valley and Fifth and hopped the shuttle. And the parking lot at Valley was about half full, so it was easy in and out. The shuttle was right there by the time I got my car locked up. Drops you right off at the door. Afterwards, you get it, come back. No mess, no fuss. It was great.
Do we have, is there a target date? I know that we're going to be under construction with a Tiger Grant for some time, and that Tiger Grant project includes the Jefferson Street, the riverfront, I believe, is it part of Main Street too?
And Main Street as well, from about High Street to Angular.
And how long is this supposed to last in terms
so
of
construction? So the riverfront area, so it kind of depends on the area or the section. We'll have some bleed off into next spring of 23, certainly. But we would expect the riverfront at least to be done by this fall. Maybe most of Main Street, at least operationally. There may be amenities, you know, the benches and streetlights and things like that, or even painting might not be done.
But the sidewalk access will still be there, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Parking, I'm not sure. Is parking still going to be allowed? Is parking allowed on obviously while the construction is in that block? No, I'm guessing.
Right. Yeah. So we're moving it, you know, at about a block of time, from west to east on Jefferson. You know, and certainly on the eastern end, as you move west, all that just stays normal or your current
right.
conditions until we get there. But then, you know, things should start opening up on the west side and moving east as it finishes up.
Which is another reminder, the bike races, they are another thing that's coming back.
The Criterium's back.
The Criterium. We'll actually have two Criterium Friday night frights, they're calling it, which is actually going to begin at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, go till about 9. And then the next day, it will be the display and the awarding trailer that is used will be in the same place because it'll be the Snake Alley Criterium. There will be two separate routes. One will go to the on Friday. They will head Friday. They'll head directly to the north, and they will head to the north into the residential section. We have not had that as a thing. The ride on Saturday will begin at the same place, but it will go to the south, and then do a little zigging and zagging, and eventually turn on Washington Street to go to get up Snake Alley, about a mile and a half course, and that will also then proceed after Snake Alley goes. It will proceed into the residential section. So areas of people will be able to see up close and personal something they haven't been able to see in the past. So
yeah, that's great.
It's a neat course that they've mm-hmm. come up with. We'll be broadcasting both on the radio and also doing the public address for that event when it comes, because it's going to start right about 200 yards from where I'm sitting right now.
From the studio headquarters, right? Right out your front door? That's wonderful.
Just out the front door into our parking lot. There's our parking lot right there. So the entrance to the parking lot is where the bike race begins, because it's on, I believe that's High Street. Is that High Street? I think that's High Street that goes up that way, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's
wonderful.
It's exciting because it won't be touching. It won't have to use any of Jefferson Street, so
right.
it will not
yeah.
be involved in that. We were talking also, John Billups was in, we were talking about all of the other building projects. We talked about road building and the Tiger Grant going on, but there's personal private construction that's going on as well, isn't there?
There is, yeah, and that's exciting to see. And I just heard of a potential new building going on downtown on the west end of Jefferson Street this morning, too. So I hope that project comes through. There's a vacant lot down there, and it sounds like, I don't have all the details, it sounds like somebody's proposed a new building. So
and there
wonderful.
Is, and there's
that's
a,
great.
But there's an, a combination Asian/American grocery.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Along with it, there's going to be another brew pub that will be down there. And I believe at least part of it will also be connected to a restaurant. So all
right.
of those things will all be happening. It's been amazing the fact that since we've had the growth of, and it's really a mostly millennial led growth in downtown Burlington, that if a service is needed, somebody comes along, they see, okay, this is something to put in there. And that's a good sign. It's a real good sign.
It's a great sign, yeah. You know, we were just going through kind of on the tail end of the city budgeting. We're working on our bond, you know, to sell bonds for the rest of the street projects and some sewer work in that, our sewer separation project in that. And so we were on a conference call with the rating company, and they were asking about the local economy because that's how they kind of gauge, you know, the strength of the city's finances and ultimately ends up in our ratings. You know, and I characterized it as, you know, better than the national average.
Yeah.
And I really feel that, yeah, we're doing pretty well here.
Well, so. And I think that's something that, you know, it's we've seen what happens is it's a little bit like, I'm not going to say a domino theory, but in a way it's a little bit like, or the paint-a-thon. Once you fix something up, once you add something, once you put a restaurant in a place that doesn't have any place or any other business in it, all of a sudden you tend to get a cluster of those together.
Yep.
And you also tend to get more of a not quite big city, but but at least a little bit of big city flavor, because that's those outdoor seating is available. Mm-hmm. There's more things, more shops. Everybody benefits when you get more population.
Right. Yeah. And that's something you talk about, outdoor seating. And I know we have some establishments that do that, with Bent River and Corked and others. And I think that's something that, you know, I'm really supportive of, because I think it just adds to a character of downtown when people just feel more comfortable, and it just feels more welcoming in that when folks are outside in front of a storefront downtown.
And I guess, and I think I've mentioned it several times before on the air, my daughter, who lives in downtown Chicago, she hadn't been downtown for a few years when she was going to school. And then she came down, there was a bike race weekend, and we had some things, and she said we came down, and then I said, well, okay, I'll just stick around down here when you come down, and we'll have some dinner and do some walking around. And she did, and she said, wow, this town doesn't feel the same as it did when I was living here.
That's great.
And that's
what we want.
It's more cosmopolitan, and that's a real toast to the fact. I think what we've also seen is the pandemic has also driven, at least, and this is anecdotally, because I don't know how it works here in Burlington, but what we've seen is, we've seen the police chief come from the Seattle area, and a lot of other people are moving towards other areas and smaller, mid-sized towns, because the situation has not been good in many areas of California. Mm-hmm. Property tax values and cost of living in those areas has been outrageous. So,
right. I think our quality of life here really has improved. Not just because of, you know, the new shops and entertainment and things like that, but, you know, our parks.
One thing at a time,
isn't it? Yeah, it is, you know, and Eric Tisland, we just awarded some bids for some trail work on the south side of town, on West Street. So, you know, all those little things add up over time.
All right. We're going to take a break. We got a break for news, but we're going to also talk about the city budget. Looks like we're going to hold pretty steady, at least in terms of our tax levy rate. We'll also talk a little bit about some other things that are going on and projects and ways to get to improve the property, overall property tax or property values, excuse me. That improves property taxes. But we've got that and more on the way.
This is The Herd.
The winner in this is also
Colin Cowherd.
So what's going to happen in 1 year? You're going to be looking into his numbers, and they're going to look like Goff in L.A. with McVay. Now you're going to say to yourself, well, Goff got to the Super Bowl. Or Jimmy did. Yeah, in the NFC. Have you seen the AFC lately? This system makes B-minus quarterbacks look like A quarterbacks or A-minus quarterbacks.
This is The Herd.
Weekdays 11 to 2 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Did you know running your dishwasher every night with Cascade Platinum actually saves water?
Saving water. Smarter with the dishwasher.
It's true. An Energy Star certified dishwasher with Cascade Platinum uses only 4 gallons of water per cycle, while a running sink uses that every 2 minutes. Every load saves water.
Saving water.
So do it every night. Run your dishwasher with Cascade Platinum, the surprising way to
save water.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
Limu and Doug.
Check it out, Limu, a roadside carnival.
Step right up, folks. Test your strength. Come see the fire-breathing baby.
Let's fan out and tell people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Look, an emu wearing sunglasses.
Limu, you're famous. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Are you ready to start planning your next vacation? With Cape Air, direct flights to St. Louis or Chicago O'Hare are affordable and convenient from Southeast Iowa Regional Airport in Burlington. Flights start at just $39 each way to St. Louis and $49 each way to Chicago O'Hare. And parking at the Burlington Airport is free. With Cape Air, your journey will be as enjoyable as your destination. Book your next trip at capeair.com.
As much as you'd love to let your pet run free, there's always the fear of something happening.
This is Dwight Mulch. With Preferred Pet Containment, that fear disappears. We have over 25 years of experience at keeping your dog and cat safe. Preferred Pet Containment provides you with a reliable underground pet fence system that's made right here in the United States. Feel safe giving your pet the freedom they deserve with Preferred Pet Containment, your authorized Pet Stop dealer. Check out our Facebook and the link to our website.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Des Moines County Conservation has announced the reopening of the boat ramp at Big Hollow. The public is invited to celebrate the completion of the reconstructed boat ramp at Big Hollow Lake with a ribbon-cutting ceremony on site at noon Friday. The project was made possible by private donations, which provided the match for a marine fuel tax grant awarded by the state. The ribbon-cutting ceremony at noon Friday will mark the official completion of the project. Boaters and anglers are encouraged to bring their boats and fishing poles to include in promotional photos. For more information, contact Des Moines County Conservation. Bird flu has infected two more farms in Iowa, forcing the killing of 5.3 million hens and 88,000 turkeys. The new cases reported Friday meant that across the nation, farmers have had to kill about 22 million birds, mostly egg-laying chickens, but also including 1.8 million broiler chickens, 1.9 million pullet and other commercial chickens, and 1.9 million turkeys. Iowa accounts for many of those cases, with operations having to kill about 13 million chickens and 305,000 turkeys since the outbreaks began a month ago. Iowa is the nation's leading egg producer and had 46 million chickens on farms in February. Iowa raises about 11.7 million turkeys annually. The latest cases were in an egg farm in Osceola County and a turkey farm in Cherokee County, both in northwest Iowa. The Illinois House on Tuesday unanimously approved legislation to penalize Russia for its war in Ukraine. The legislation, sponsored by Representative Lindsay LaPointe, directs state pension funds to eliminate any investments in Russian-based companies, prepares the state to accept Ukrainian refugees, and sets up a group to study Russian money laundering in Illinois real estate. The measure was okayed 114-0 and moves to the Senate. LaPointe added provisions to find ways to prevent foreign operatives from hacking into Illinois' election system and to require universities to report donations from entities on a federal sanctions list. From the KBUR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. The Justice Department announces it's charged a Russian oligarch, Konstantin Malofeyev, with sanctions violations, and that officials have dismantled a cybercrime operation controlled by a Russian military intel agency. Meanwhile, Russian forces leaving a path of destruction across parts of Ukraine.
The majority of Russian troops that we are seeing regroup, that is taking place in Volgograd, Russia, which is just about 20 to 30 miles across the border, and they are leaving towns in northern Ukraine with tanks littering the streets. These once quiet towns, a shadow of what they used to be. There's also new footage of people found, footage so brutal that we will not show it on air without entirely blurring it.
Fox's Alex Hogan in Lviv, and stocks sinking in mid-morning trading ahead of the release of Fed's minutes. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Mostly sunny and breezy today. A high to 55 degrees. We'll see southwest winds at 10 to 20, gusting to 30 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy, breezy tonight. A low to 37. And those west winds continuing to gust to 30. Mostly cloudy with rain, 60% likely after 1 p.m. A high to 45 Thursday. With again those west winds gusting to 30, a 50% chance of rain could be mixed with or changed to snow after midnight Thursday night, a low down to 34. Right now, we've got skies that continue to be sunny. It's 49.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks are lower for a second day on Wall Street this morning. Investors bracing themselves for an aggressive Fed, raising interest rates faster and higher than first thought to try to rein in inflation. The latest meeting minutes will be out this afternoon, and investors will be combing through those. Mortgage demand plunged 40% last week from the same week a year ago. The rate on a 30-year home loan now solidly above 5%. Big oil in the hot seat on Capitol Hill today. CEOs are going to be grilled on high gas prices. The Biden White House has just extended the student loan payment pause through August, giving borrowers more time to breathe with inflation so high. Boeing building a new Air Force One jet for the government says it's running into some more delays. Amazon facing a wave of unionization efforts was named the number one company where Americans want to work this year by LinkedIn. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Hey, hey you. Ever wanted to learn a new language like French or Spanish or even Norwegian, but thought it'd be too difficult or time-consuming? If so, it's time to try Babbel. Babbel lets you customize how and when you learn. Quick 10-minute lessons on words.
Siesta.
Bambola. Phrases and grammar.
Los dan coffee.
To games that keep it exciting. Listen to podcasts on the go or take live online classes with a real teacher.
Hola, clase. ¿Cómo están?
It's really up to you. In no time, chatting about real-life topics will feel, well, effortless. Go ahead. See where Babbel takes you. Ah, Paris. More ways to explore. More ways to learn. Learn a new language with ease. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Babbel.com.
We've been spending more time at home these days, and you may have noticed that your current house just doesn't fit your needs anymore. I'm Kristen with Danville State Savings Bank in New London. We have home loans to help you get a house that fits your life today. Or maybe you need to upgrade. Entertainment system, better appliances. With your good credit, the Danville State Savings Bank can help. We go the extra mile. Offices in Danville, New London, and online at danvillebank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Ashley Darley, Community Relations Director with the Views of Burlington. We are currently looking for a nursing leader who would oversee our nursing staff. This dynamic person would have to be reliable, lead by example, and take pride in their work. While we provide the highest standard of care for our residents, we also believe in taking care of our employees with competitive salaries and benefits. Come join our Views family. To learn more about these positions and apply online, go to viewsofburlington.com.
Come into Morning Sun Farm Implement and see their lineup of Kubota equipment rated number one in reliability in the under 100 horsepower category. By Kubota BX and L Series compact tractors designed with you in mind with performance matched attachments. You own the land. It's time to have the right tractor, and their experts will help you find it. They can also make sure your equipment is ready for spraying in their parts and service department. Stop by today and get zero down, 0% APR for up to 60 months. Stop by Morning Sun Farm Implement today or visit their website for details. Now through June 30th, 2022, see them or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
When there's a change in the weather,
it's horrible out here,
and you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain
on air and online.
I always know it can be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR and online at KBUR.com.
Welcome back. Chad Bird is the city manager of the city of Burlington. He is celebrating 1 year. His anniversary was yesterday. And it's a plethora of projects. There you go. You like that? Plethora of projects going on in downtown Burlington and throughout the city as well. And we also understand that there will be a modest increase in the cost of trash containers. Is that right?
There's a modest increase there. Of course, our recycling collection fee goes up a little bit, about 15 cents every year. Per household per month, and so we pass that along.
This is all within the water, trash, et cetera.
It's within the solid waste collection, which is a fee-driven, right? So it's not property taxes
right.
that run that. It's an enterprise fund, so it sustains on revenues collected for solid waste collection. So that'll go up 35 cents per household per month. I mean, it's like a lot of things. Our costs go up too to run that as a business.
Frankly, we've seen an increase. I know it for me. It comes the percentage increase always is in August, but it has to go up every year because of the separation, sewer separation, and wastewater separation.
Right. That's a big one.
That is something. It has been talked about being to extend. I know chats with the DNR extending the time of the, and I'm not even sure what you call it.
Compliance?
Compliance. The fee has to be paid. I'm not sure what that fee is or who gets that fee or where it goes to, but how does that work?
Well, as far as the sewer separation, so that's either stormwater, which is a utility. So that's run as an enterprise based on fees, so no tax dollars. And sewer, sanitary sewer collection, which is an enterprise fund based on fees. It's run as a business that way, too. So, and that's really what our consent order from the DNR and the EPA is. The sanitary sewer and the stormwater are combined in some areas and in some locations. And the decree is that those have to be separated,
right?
Because you don't want sanitary going to your storm system and out to the river, and you don't want your stormwater going to the sewer plant because you don't need to treat that. So why are you taking capacity and cost to treat water that doesn't need to be treated? Well, so
we've got that going on, and I know the expanding the payback time or the consent time, I guess.
Is that something? The original consent decree, you know, we've had that for decades.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah, right. It's been going on for a long, long time. And the city's done a great job in the last decade or so really moving those projects forward and working towards that separation. Initially, with the original consent, it was that everything had to be totally separated by 2025. Well, we've talked before, Steve, about having, you know, 30 or 40 years worth of projects, well over $100 million. Well, that's just, it's just not practical,
yeah.
Right? And so the DNR is saying, hey, look, we understand it's going to be very difficult. You can't afford it. Your rate payers can't afford it. So we'll give some relief, keep working towards separation, but we know that there will be some level where, you know, you're just not going to be able to complete it or complete it within a definite time period, you know, so they'll give us some relief there, which is great. So
the flood mitigation project, is that connected at all to this project?
No, not really. There will be some areas that you may see some combined or overlap project work, but that's really all about just armoring and protecting the riverfront and the wastewater treatment facility on the south end, and really buys us, you know, maybe 4 to 6 feet more river flood stage before.
A rather important 4 to 6 feet.
Absolutely, right? You know, so with the stage that was completed last summer, you know, that gets us about 4 feet up there around the port and the auditorium. So that's
which
needed.
It protects those buildings. And I don't know how many different stages there are within this entire project.
The master plan has about 9 stages, and we have 6 of them done.
Okay. Well, I guess that's good news.
It's great news. Yeah, it's really, again, the city's done a nice job over the last 10 years or so working through that.
Okay, so as you look ahead, the next three how far will these mitigation or the the protection? Mm-hmm. How far will that extend either north or south?
It's at its terminus on the north end. So the work that was finished last fall, coming north of the port building and where it ties back to Front Street, that's it there on the north. So everything else will be south.
So south is what's going. So how far south will it go?
Well, certainly no further than the wastewater treatment facility, because then that abuts the railroad tracks there at the bridge.
So the HESCO barriers are still going to be needed for
until we get that work done.
Right. But once you do have that work, then that should help. But the HESCO barriers are going to be around because
they're a good stopgap, literally.
Yeah.
Right. So there may be small little places where a wall is not practical or feasible, where the barrier. The HESCOs will still come out, and we'll use those in different locations.
All right. And I do know that you are trying to increase security at the Cascade Bridge as well. I know we had a couple of incidents where somebody would try to drive their vehicle through the chain link fence.
Despite the fence and the barriers that are there, people still think it's open and drive through it. We've had 2 incidents maybe in the last year. So, and it's, you know, we really just need to look at it from a liability standpoint. I mean, heaven forbid somebody get out there and, you know, something happened with the bridge or whatever. We know it's fracture critical, which means one piece goes, the whole piece goes, right? Or the whole bridge goes. So, we need a more definitive stop barrier. And, you know, there's been conversation about, well, can't you just put out concrete barriers? Well, there's liability for that, too, because, you know, the last instance we had, it was a high-speed chase. If somebody hits that and it's a dead stop, you know, there's liability there with injury and stuff, too. So we need to make it safe. We need to follow DOT recommendations for that type of situation, which is a dead-end stop-now kind of thing, which is where the specifications came up for the sand-filled barrels.
But right. There will be, and again, it is on the five-year road plan. Or
yeah, actually, it's
plan.
Four now. So.
Is it 4 years?
Yeah, right.
When do you anticipate? I know you've got, I believe, $1 million out of, I believe the, was it from the, was that part of the pandemic relief that came in?
No, the Iowa DOT runs a bridge fund consistently. They have for years. Bridges that meet what they call a deficiency rating, bridges are inspected every 2 years, and if they meet a certain deficiency rating, they're eligible for money out of this bridge fund. And so that was the first bucket of money that we received last fall. So that's the first money in. We are going through the required environmental and cultural assessments. We have to make sure, you know, environmental species or any archaeological studies are done. That's required by Historic Preservation and the DOT. We are looking at some scenic byway money. We're hopeful there. We know that there will be some infrastructure money coming
That is also on the Great River Road, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. Of course, we've been detoured for however long, but yeah. It is technically or actually on the Great River Road.
And again, the building or the bridge itself constructed in 1896.
That's right.
And my understanding is once they made that they made it so that the water would go through the bridge. Once they did that, then that started the rusting process for the entire structure.
Yeah, probably. They did that in, the 60s, I think?
Yeah.
They took the wooden planks off and put the steel grates on.
Because that's what they had a very similar thing at the old MacArthur Bridge, which yep. preceded the current
yeah.
bridge. Yeah.
And that was to lighten the load, literally, right?
Right.
You take some weight off of the bridge, but, yeah, then you get the salt and water and everything that goes down through it, and that's not good either.
So, in other words, we will have a new bridge that will be built, but there's no design. It will not be a water dripping through the
yeah right no it'll have proper drainage on it
on
yeah.
it but
and yeah and so right now it is in the capital improvement plan for 26 fiscal 26 and we're hopeful to stay on that target. So
okay, again, we're gonna take a break. Chad Bird is our guest. We're gonna talk property taxes, and we'll talk about basically property values. We'll talk about that and also what's being done to improve it right after this.
This is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe.
Y'all ready?
You know what's crazy is that we're having all this discussion, and once the season starts and he's out for Cleveland week one, whoever they're playing week one, this is just gonna sort of fade away.
No way. Ubiquitous. Meaning, this will be everywhere.
Two Pros, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and a cup of Joe. Jonas Knox.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 8 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Welcome to Spring and Summer Memorial Installations. Light Up Burris and Metz Monuments has been serving your cemetery since 1892. Yes, that's right. For 130 years, Light Up Burris and Metz Memorial Craftsmen have been lettering, carving, and delivering cemetery memorials to your family and all cemeteries in Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, and beyond. Aspen Grove, Sacred Heart, St. Mary's, St. John's, Pleasant Grove, Prairie Grove, Kossuth, Oakland, Biggsville, Aquaca, any cemetery, anywhere. We are the only full-service monument company for miles and miles. Need to match Grandma Mary's granite memorial stone? Let us help you at Lida, Burris, and Metz Monuments in Burlington. Save up to 50% off selected in-stock memorial stones during our spring granite sale now through April 16th. Stop by and see us at the corners of Oak and Osborne or call for an in-home appointment. Lida, Burris, and Metz Monuments. Quality you can see from a company you can trust.
You rely on your eyes to do daily tasks, process emotions, react to danger, and more. That's why it's important to keep them healthy. Eye specialists at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center in West Burlington treat medical conditions of the eye, including cataracts, glaucoma, and retina problems. Their ophthalmologists perform in-office laser treatments and injections, plus surgical procedures in the hospital. High-tech eye treatment is available close to home. Get it at Eye Specialists Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center. Learn more at greatriverhealth.org.
The Chad Benson Show.
And for kids, that's going to be the battle next year.
places that are going to try to mandate kids getting the COVID shot when kids aren't getting it. Because parents, while they may have gone out and gotten the shot themselves and are all about that, they also looked at the science and said, this is stupid. Not doing it for our kids. And we don't mandate the flu shot.
The Chad Benson Show. Chad Benson, weeknights from 8 to 11 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And welcome back. Chad Bird is the city manager of the city of Burlington. You know, of course, as we've seen the situation in Ukraine, we've also seen gas prices that have gone up higher. I don't know how. So we did have a caller, by the way, I had a caller yesterday that said that the average gas price in Burlington is $3.98 a gallon, which is certainly better than it is in Chicago and better than it is in a lot of places. But they had just bought gas in Mount Pleasant at for $3.41. And they had just filled, and the tank that had just filled it had then moved into one of the Burlington fuel or one of the Burlington stations, and was filling it with the same gas. Only it was $3.98 in Burlington.
Yeah.
And I've never been able to quite understand that. What I'm getting at is actually there is sort of a method to the madness. There has been talk, or at least there was talk about. The fuel tax, both the federal fuel tax and state fuel tax, being a hiatus. But I know that most of our legislators are against that, and I know most of the people that are in, because it does, that's an important component in the street work and bridges and anything else,
it
roads.
Is that gas tax or the road use tax, as the technical name, that funds an awful lot of work in our street department, from snow removal to street maintenance. So that's a very important.
On a positive note, it was a pretty good year for snow removal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, in other words, we didn't have much snow removal. So
no, we saved
some material and
you weren't here for the snow removal last year, but it was considerably more.
right. Yeah. So no, we had a very light year, and that was good. So
anyway, and the money that is in that simply carries over. Does that carry over?
It does.
And go into the fund for the
next
year.
So whatever we don't use, we collect it on a per capita basis from the state through that road use tax fund, and we get it. We budget, to use it for those things that we just talked about. And if we don't, so in the case of snow removal, if we don't use it, it just sits in that fund and it's available for future projects, or if we would get an exceptional snow year, right?
As far as property taxes, the city share, which is about a third of our total property taxes, having just paid it about 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, right. A week ago. It was due,
it was due a week ago, But it was. But the fact is the city's share is one-third, and the levy stayed, from my understanding, the levy stayed the same.
The city levy stayed the same at $15.43 per thousand, but our valuations went down about 2 to 2.5%, 2.4%. So, in theory, for the average home, and we showed this during the budget hearing, that's a decrease for the average homeowner.
Now, you'd like to see the average property value continue to increase, would you not? So that
I would, because that means, our tax base is going up, and there's a lot that goes in.
And bring that levy down.
And bring that levy down, right? So it's kind of the all tides, tides raise all ships, right? So the more
that's a recruiting, isn't that a part of what a business would look at, the property tax costs?
Exactly. Building valuation and local levy rate. And as you mentioned, the city's roughly a third. Of course, the school is into that, and the county's into that, and the community college, and to a lesser extent, they all have a piece of that to make your total tax bill. But just speaking for the city side. So the ultimate goal is, over long term, how do we increase property tax valuations?
Improve the properties.
So that, we all pay a little less because there's more properties paying in. That's the ultimate goal. I was just doing a quick calculation during the break that I received notice on my property specifically that my valuation went up 15%. And that's probably largely due to, you know, the most recent sale. When I bought my home, I paid more than the previous owner paid for it when they bought it. So, you know, the county assessor needs to work within parameters to continue to see even just those scenarios to see increases in valuations.
I noticed a significant increase in property values just in my neighborhood, too. Homes that were selling considerably more than they would have been sold a year before.
Right.
I don't know if that's been pandemic related or whether it's...
Well, housing's hot right now, right? So, you know, which is part of the reason I paid more for my home than the previous owners paid when they bought it, is because, you know, the market is a little hotter. So, you know, kind of going back to the tax bill where...
But to improve it generally, to do a general improvement, what sort of things do you need to do?
Well, so, you know, from my perspective, I'd like to see more added to the tax base. I don't want to see our current properties just increase in value.
Right.
I want to see more properties
added. Which means
added.
More properties and...
Yeah, more homes, yeah. More commercial businesses, more industry.
And maybe even more people, yeah.
Well, more people, ultimately, right? And so the way you do that, it's, you know, it's complex. Yeah. How do you add to the quality of life? How do you add, you know, more shopping and dining and entertainment experiences? Those all bring people. Those all bring more businesses. They all bring more housing, and that's the goal.
One of the other issues we have, and we've talked with Pat Cohen about this, is that we have, I'm not going to say ageism, but I'm saying is we have an aging population, and the birth rate is continuing to diminish.
Right.
So the birth rate diminishes. He talked about how many kids he had. I talked about how many kids I had, and we were all above the...
Above the norm?
Above the norm.
Right.
But it is something, and but it really is in a city that really does have, or any entity, it really does have an impact, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
And it changes the the needs of the housing needs as well.
Right.
As you see that happening. So seeing a lot of millennials moving in and hopefully doing well is a good thing, right?
It is. Right. So, you know, from speaking on the city side, maybe not from Pat's side on with the school, you know, millennials moving in or anybody moving in, they're buying a house, they're eating, they're shopping, they're dining, the entertainment stuff downtown, right? That's all good stuff. But if they're not having kids or having kids later or having less, you know, family, smaller family size, that doesn't help the schools.
No.
Ultimately, right? The property values do, adding to it's their tax base too, but they need the kids.
And I don't think you're going to see that demographically. Everything I've read doesn't point to that as being a, at least for the next decade, as being a major thing.
Right. That's right.
And I think that's so dynamics and demographics are changing as we move. Mm-hmm. But so you adapt to it. The places that are doing the best in Iowa. I don't know who. Des Moines seems to be doing very, very well right now. Iowa City has always been doing well. Cedar Rapids doing well. I think Sioux City is doing well. What do we need to do to get on that bandwagon?
Yeah, well, some of that is we need to model some of the things that they're doing, you know, and Dubuque is a great case study in, you know, redefining economic development and growth. And we can look at those communities you mentioned as models. But, you know, one of the bigger issues is that urban flight, right?
Right.
So people are leaving rural, going to urban centers. So how do we change that tide? And that comes back to, you know, great schools, which we have, housing, which we're trying to work on. And quality of life is really the biggest thing. When people can work from home, they can work anywhere.
Yeah.
They can choose anywhere. And so how do we become that anywhere for them?
Well, the other thing we do have in Burlington is that you have a relatively small city, but because that city is serving a fairly large area, you tend to have a lot more services, restaurants, types of things here that you wouldn't normally have in a city of this size. So that's a plus side. I don't know how that translates into dollars and cents. But it is.
Well, you might be getting ready to go into another break, but, you know, just from you know, one philosophy I have, because I've seen some chatter, or you kind of hear this every now and then, it's like, well, you know, I have to go to Iowa City because there's not a good shoe store here, or I have to go to Mount Pleasant to the dentist or whatever because that's not here. We have all those things. So shop local. That's extremely yeah. important. And the more that we can get people to stay and shop local, the more businesses that will come behind that. You know, right now we have a great shoe store. I use that example because I heard that comment recently that I had to go to Iowa City to buy shoes. I'm like, why? You can buy shoes right here. And the more people that buy shoes right here, maybe we get another shoe store.
All right. Chad Bird, happy anniversary. Have a great
day.
Thank you.